I'm Richard Warner from St. George. I guess mostly I've got a couple statements. I'm a little disappointed that these test turbines aren't going to be, may not be providing power and stuff. I did have a concern about how the cables would come ashore where so much of Maine coast is privately owned. I think it's a great opportunity and I support it 100%, but these are just, that's a concern I have. Another concern I have is where this potential energy might be used. Maine gets bypassed so much by, well, we have a gas line going right from one end of the state to another, and we're dependent on oil. And I hate to see all this research and development go in, and we're providing electricity to New York or other places. I'd like to see something utilized here. We need the jobs, we need the industry, and I want for it.
I think that one of the things that the Ocean Energy Task Force that has been referred to here several times tonight is looking at is how to harness this energy and use it here. And one of the, as Bob's, one of his first slides pointed out, our biggest dependence on oil is in home heating and for our cars. And the two, you know, technologies that we're looking at very strongly and running some numbers on what conversion cost would be is using heat pumps for heating our homes, which is dependent on electricity, either from offshore wind or from, you know, another source, as a way of reducing our energy costs. And as you probably have read about, you know, the development of electric cars. But many people are envisioning a world where we electrify both home heating and transportation, which is where most of the oil consumed in Maine is used. And so.
Sorry, I didn't understand your question on the cable question.
I have a concern. I mean, I think that, you know, it's a great idea and I support it, but these cables somewhere, you know, someday are going to have to come ashore somewhere. And so much of this coast is privately owned. And, you know, that's one concern that, you know, people are going to have. And to do all this testing and then, well, we don't have any way to get this stuff, you know, to get the electricity to the consumer. And that's my concern.
Anybody up on that issue in terms of, I mean, it may not be an issue as part of this process,
well,
but down the road, the industry has to be thinking about.
When we're down the road, you know, the cable issue will be important, and any cable from offshore will have to go through a pretty rigorous permitting process to address, you know, environmental concerns and, you know, access. I don't have a good answer to the access question on the coast.
I think that developers are looking at places to interconnect to the grid whenever they site a generation project, whether it be onshore or offshore. And we do have mechanisms through the regional grid operator as well as the Public Utilities Commission to bring transmission through the state. So I think it's a valid point, but you know, we've been dealing with siting transmission for a lot of years in the state. I'm not saying it's easy, but there are procedures in place that would do it, and I know developers of offshore energy are looking at, you know, doing underwater cables and connecting into places where the grid is robust enough to handle the potential load from their generation.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you. I live in Edgecombe. And then also I live up in the
middle. A little bit,
sorry. Yes, I have a few questions. First, I am very close to the Dammers Cove Monhegan site. I've been out whale watching and I've spent a lot of time on the water out there. There are a lot of schools of fish from the Kennebec River to the Sheepscot to the Damariscotta is one of the main breeding grounds for all our indigenous fish species, haddock, a lot of our seasons are disappearing. You probably know from the Department of Marine Resources there that a lot of our fish are disappearing, and endangered species such as whales and other marine mammals will be very affected by any type of activity out there on the ocean. So when you look at the map you have here, you've cited Monhegan, Isle of Hoe, all the various offshore islands, which are some of our best fishing grounds and lobstering grounds, and it seems to me that the cart before the horse here is that your technology is not quite up. If only Norway has a test site for deep water. Why would we lay waste some of our best and most beautiful areas for test sites? Yes, the federal government is very pro alternative energy, which I think is a great idea. Why wouldn't they support just go ahead and put your sites out in the deep water? Why impact? Why disturb these orange areas where all of our fishing and all of our wildlife and all of our tourism exist? You've talked a lot about economic impact. And go to Booth Bay, go to Star Harbor, go to all these places. Look at what people are there for. They're there for the wildlife, for the sailing, for the fishing, for the way life should be in the state of Maine. And another problem I have is that the Department of Marine Resources have not really protected our marine species because they're all gone. Where are they? We have no fish, so we have to go to something else. We have to go to energy exportation, which it sounds great, but I mean, sure, we need, think of this. In the 1900s, at the turn of the century, a million farms had their own windmills. All farmers across this country had windmills. Where did they all go? You know, I mean, what is it all about? I mean, we really have to analyze this in a lot of different ways. I agree with the person before. Where is the power going to be exported to? If the power is going to be exported to Boston, New York, and so forth, then why don't they put the windmills? Or Maine can build them. If Maine has the technology, let Maine, you know, Bath Iron Works, let all the industries in Maine produce parts, ship them, put these parts on windmills outside of New York City. That's where they belong. Put the windmills on top of Mountjoy Hill. I don't see on this list. Where's Portland?
Portland, we don't have a location that meets those basic requirements near Portland.
But I know that your test sites are not.
There are no sites.
Well, because they're probably shipping oil in or something.
Well, there's shipping lanes. There's
shipping
not
lanes.
Deep enough water within that area. With
well,
the 3-mile limit.
That's just a few points that I have to make. And if it's going to be a very costly venture for the state of Maine, why not wait for federal funds to help us fund it?
Right now, the state of Maine basically appropriated no funds for the process we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no extra state money being spent to identify these demonstration sites.
Mm-hmm.
We actually got one grant to help us with this process, and that's not state money. And when they're set up, it's not state money. It's private industry, and the university is working on getting grants to do the kind of testing they would like to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If I can just make a comment on marine resources.
Yes.
Thank you for your comments on that. As Bob mentioned earlier in his presentation, sorry about that. the sites that have been picked are the development areas that we've identified so far. We're not based on any information on marine resources or seabirds or other things like that. So that's the kind of input we're looking for tonight, and as we go through the process to rule out areas that are rich in whales.
I guess that would be my point, is that will the state protect us at the same time that you are offering big businesses to come in and take advantage of our natural resources? Will the state of Maine protect our resources as well?
I think that's our intent. I think there's always going to be risks and some trade-offs that we can't eliminate.
If you can put wind turbines out further away from the sensitive areas, why lay waste our sensitive areas? Why not just waste the technology, put them out there? That would be my point. Thank you.
Questionnaire. The question there is what's going on, what I'm hearing, what's going on with federal legislation and offshore wind development, way offshore wind development? And it's a different question from tonight. I just don't know if anybody knows that answer on our panel. Are developers queuing up to go for this way out because they lack the technology and ability to start those kind of ventures?
Drop back a little bit. The Department of Energy, the Federal Department of Energy, has set goals for wind by 2030 and 2020, and offshore wind is a major part of that. There are federal funding programs for the Department of Energy supporting the development demonstration of a lot of alternative energy technologies, wind and biomass and all sorts of things. So the goal here is to really tap into those federal funds and have Maine's fair share, Maine's opportunity to capitalize on that. At the same time, the economic development opportunity is as much in developing the industry and the manufacturing and the repair and installation and service. There's a huge amount of business opportunity if you follow the European models for private industry, whether it's companies like Chimbrow, Bath Ironworks, or many smaller companies, to participate in manufacturing. The University of Maine is working with the Maine composites industry right now to investigate the opportunity for blade manufacturing and other composite part manufacturing. We'll be doing training and education opportunities over the next few months to try to better understand those opportunities. I'm trying to think if there was another question there. I think that's good.